I really do.
Well, what's next? The gold.
Listen up, y'all. Mine. Baby girl, let me tell y'all what just happened. Now, I just had finished having a talk with that Eric Bischoff, and the first thing I did was let that cracker know a piece of my mind. Now, what I mean by that is I let him know that he set me up last week. You know, typical white man, being all generous in my face. You know, even let me be GM for one night. You see, but what he didn't tell me was is how much power that Stone Cold Steve Austin has as being a sheriff around here. What he did was dumped all his problems on the black man. You feeling me? You see, next thing I know, I'm being chased around the ring by an ATV, and the final, this breaks the camel's back right here. I'm being stunned in the middle of the ring for no reason at all.
What did he say about that?
Well, he said he couldn't make up for what happened last week. But what he's gonna do, he's gonna try to make it good for tonight. So what he's gonna do, he's gonna make a match with you and Chris Jericho for later tonight.
What I'm talking about.
Now, you know, Chris Jericho is a white boy that I believe you can let your frustrations out on, you heard?
I like the sound of that.
And you know something? I want you to let Chris Jericho know tonight that he made the biggest mistake of his life by getting in our business earlier by running down to the ring. He gonna save that little Snow White Trish. Yeah. Well, you know something, player? I want you to beat him down, because tonight is like Brother Malcolm says, we win by any means necessary. You feeling that?
I'm feeling that.
He feel it, player.
Right. And you better believe that too, dog.
That's right.
Let me holler at you, player. This is Teddy Long, and this is Real Talk, reminding you that you are listening to the Gurick Report podcast, along with my man, Steve Gurick, and Frank B. Holla, 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 player.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it on. Get out of my way, I'm coming to thunder and lightning and striking, I'm inviting you all to the storm. Feel the pain that I'm trying to contain, my heart is as black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it on.
And yo, I break and smash and straight whip ass. I can see the fear in your eyes every time that I pass. I'm intimidating the most and feared by many,
but don't tempt me.
I leave the place empty.
Simply.
You get me? I'm low down, witty and shifty. I'm low down, people against me. Even the best be afraid, cause I approach it aggressively, especially when they roll up and test me. Yo, it's over. I'm a disciplined militant mind. Slash time. If you look for a style like mine, you can't find it. Call me the M to the ACK.
It is Leap Day 2016. You are listening to the Gurick Report podcast, the latest edition of the GRP. I am Steve Gurick of Gurick.net. Since 1997, all your pro wrestling news in one click. Go to GERWECK.net. Definitely bookmark it and tell your friends. And we have Teddy Long returning to the podcast, but before we get to him real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on out there, everybody? This is Frank D, and listen to the latest edition of the Raw Deal podcast with myself and Abby Green. We talk Shane McMahon, we talk Mark Madden's comments about Dean Ambrose, and so much more. So check it out right now over at Gurick.net in the audio section. Also, like and subscribe our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast. Tons of interviews up there with the past, with the likes of Eric Bischoff, Mr. Teddy Long, Vince Russo, and so many others. So check it out right now, youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast.
Yeah, one guy who's definitely bringing up our subscriber count and our viewership at the YouTube channel is this gentleman, become a good friend of GRP and Gurick.net. He is a Gurick.net Hall of Famer, former manager, former referee, one of the best talkers in the business. We welcome back today, and it's our pleasure to do so, Teddy Long.
Hey, thanks guys for having me back, and like I said, I just want to thank you guys once again for always giving me the opportunity to come on your show. And I tell you what, it's paying off for us. We are blowing up the podcast, and that's exactly what we want to do. So that's why I'm back here today, to keep it going, player.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And first, before we dive into our usual conversation, tell us about the weekend. I know you hooked up with Hall of Famer Ron Simmons' independent show. How did that go?
Well, great show. We were in Mephalonian, Illinois for Crash Test Wrestling, and like you said, I was with the former Hall of Famer, Ron Simmons, there. We were there, signing autographs, doing a big meet and greet. Plus, I was involved in their show. I was a GM for the night, and Ron Simmons had a part in the show also. So we had a great time, and I'd like to thank all the fans of Chicago and surrounding areas that came out to see us, and they really welcomed us and made us feel real welcome. So it was a great weekend this week, and Well, last week, and this week, going down to Pascagoula, Mississippi. Let me get that right. Pascagoula, Mississippi, going to be at the BFW Post on Saturday night. So be looking for all the fans to come out, and I'll be with the company that I'm the vice president of. That's the AWF, the Alabama Wrestling Federation. And a lot of the great superstars from the AWF will be there, and we're going to have former WWE star Heidenreich. He'll be there. So going to be a great show in Pascagoula, Mississippi this weekend.
And very good for all your information about Teddy. And you can follow all his social media. Definitely check out teddylong.com. Keeps you up to date on his whereabouts and his social media as well. So definitely check that out today. I want to ask you up front here, Teddy, because since we talked to you, Shane McMahon came back, and there's a lot of chatter out there about the possibility of WWE going back to the brand extension, you know, possibly with WWE on the line, maybe they separate the rosters again. They're going to have, you know, possibly a figurehead Raw general manager, possibly a figurehead SmackDown general manager. What's your overall opinion? Is it time to go back to the brand extension with the current roster, or do you think maybe they should just keep everybody on the main roster?
Well, I think what they should do is to go back with what worked for them. And when they did the brand extension, that worked. That was great, in my opinion. I thought it was absolutely good. And I think they should try that again. You know, if something worked for you, then, you know, why not use it? So I think they're going in the right direction. If that's the way that, you know, that they're going to go, I think that's the right thing to do. And certainly, you know, like I've always said, Vince is a genius, and he'll figure this thing out, and he'll make it work. So I think going back to the brand extension is the right way to go.
I think that if done correctly, they can go ahead and do it. But the only thing I'm concerned about is there going to be two champions or is it going to be one champion? I prefer it to be, you know, the WWE champion and then have the big gold belt. But also, it might be, you know, a situation where WWE could actually do some of these pay-per-views separate as far as how they used to do back in the day. They used to do SmackDown branded pay-per-views, Raw branded pay-per-views. If they go into that type of thing here, I think that might work, especially since it's on the network and especially since it's only $9.99. You're not really paying, you know, $60 per show. Those are the aspects where I think that they can do something with it. Now, I'm not a fan of it, obviously, because they screwed it up before. I mean, in my opinion, the brand extension was just WWE trying to do the deal they did with WCW back in the day. That's all it was. It was just trying to be this inter-promotional competition, and it really wasn't that. I mean, because you had a lot of people that they, you know, I will say this. There was some sort of a brand loyalty there because you had a lot of people that didn't watch SmackDown that only watched Raw, and you had a lot of people watched SmackDown that didn't watch Raw and vice versa. So I don't think that's going to happen this time around because the depth in the roster is just simply not there for this to work. And like I said on the Raw deal, if they're going to try to pull this off, how are you going to do it with all the injuries? And then what are you going to do? You're going to bring up talent from NXT. And once you deplete the NXT roster and you weaken that brand, what's left to do?
Go ahead, Frank. Let me comment on that, too. I think you're exactly right with some parts of that. You know what I mean? When the part where you mentioned where WWE was trying to do the WCW thing with the brand extension when WCW had Monday Nitro and on Thursday, I think the other show was called Thunder. I think that Vince might have, you know, took something from that. But after he went and did that, it worked for him. So what I'm saying to you, too, is I think what has to happen, too, they're going to have a lot of talent. Because I think if you're going to do that, Raw has to have its own talent, and SmackDown has to have its own talent. Because it doesn't make sense to have a brand extension if you're going to go direct to SmackDown and watch the same guys that you just saw on Raw. Doesn't make any sense. So, like you said, you know, they're going to burn a lot of guys out in NXT. You're right about that. But, like I said, there's some way, you know, this has to work. And, like, they don't have the talent right now to do it, but, you know, I'm thinking that might happen. They will get the talent to do it. I don't know, but I just hope it works because it was great in the past, and I liked it myself.
It gives a lot of the guys that aren't doing anything something to do. And I will say this about the brand extension, where I will agree with you about some of the aspects of it, you know, made it work, because there was a lot of stars made during the brand extension time. I mean, Randy Orton was made, John Cena was made. You saw JBL become a WWE champion. Would JBL necessarily have become a WWE champion if the brand extension never happened? Probably not. That happened. some of it worked, but a lot of it too has to, it all goes back down to creative. If creative can come up with some interesting concepts, interesting storytelling, then sky is the limit. But I think at this time in 2016, I don't necessarily think that it's going to work because, like I said, you have a lot of people that's burned out with injuries, and you got a lot of people that just don't see SmackDown up there with Raw, and they just don't watch SmackDown. And that's the problem. If you have a SmackDown brand that's always, you know, been seen as the weaker brand and inferior to Raw, you got Shane McMahon on Monday night saying he wants to run Monday Night Raw. He's not saying, oh, I want to run SmackDown. I want to run Raw, which essentially means you're running WWE. Even Vince McMahon said that.
Right. Well, and the other thing about this, I'm not blowing my own horn, but like you were saying, you know, people doesn't watch SmackDown like they did Raw. But I have to say this, when I was general manager of SmackDown, we won bragging rights 2 times in a row. So, you know, evidently SmackDown had to be doing something good then. It had to be basically better than Raw for me to win those trophies those 2 times.
Yeah, but are we looking at that, Teddy, from a kayfabe point of view, or are we looking at that from a reality point of view?
Well, we're looking at that from a kayfabe point of view.
Okay, because if we're looking at it from a reality point of view, nothing against you, but SmackDown sucks. And it sucks for years. I mean, that show, honestly, I'll tell you this. I thought SmackDown was the better show, was the A show, when the brand extension first happened, because that show had Hulk Hogan on it. That show had Chris Jericho. It had Kurt Angle. It had The Rock. It, you know, Vince McMahon was the general manager. You had that stacked up. But you look over at Raw, you had Stone Cold. You had Bradshaw. You had the NWO, or the weaker version of the NWO. You had Kane. And it's just, Raw was boring. I was actually watching SmackDown more. That's how I looked at it. No, you know,
right.
No offense.
I kind of just remember back to at the end of the brand extension when it was still the SmackDown Raw exclusive pay-per-views that people would be more partial to the Raw show because the Raw show is the A brand, and then you would see the attendance numbers dwindle, especially like for a SmackDown only house show, because you know they expected to see the stars of Raw and it was only the stars of SmackDown. So it's going to be interesting if they do that. Do they do it only for television presence to say here's guys on, you know, Monday nights and here's the guys on Thursday nights? Or do they start touring again as two separate brands? Because I would assume, you know, Frank, if they do a full extension once again, as you were talking about, they probably go back to pay-per-views being exclusive again, and they probably going back to house shows again. I really think they need to reduce the number of pay-per-views, make these pay-per-views seem a little bit more important because, you know, now that it's $9.99 and it's included in your subscription, I don't think they need to run as many pay-per-views. And you know, like I said, towards the end, nobody really wanted to watch SmackDown pay-per-views anyways.
It all goes back to creative storytelling. If creative is good, SmackDown would be good. But creative hasn't been good. Creative hasn't been good in WWE for a while, and it's showing on both shows. I mean, we go back to Raw on Monday. You had the Shane McMahon deal, and I said, you know, I thought Raw last Monday was a decent show. I think WWE tried to put some effort into it, but it's just that, you know, that 800,000 viewer drop between hour number one and hour number three, that shows a lot of people left the show after Shane McMahon was done, and they realized he wasn't going to be back out there. But I think that at this point in time, you know, I really enjoyed the brand exclusive pay-per-views simply because it was a slower build to those shows. It wasn't like we got to do this pay-per-view, and then in a couple weeks, it's another pay-per-view coming up. It was Raw had a pay-per-view, and then the next month, SmackDown had a pay-per-view, and then Raw would have another one after that. And it was just, the storylines, you know, progressed a lot better, in my opinion. And I mean, that's what they're missing right now, because they got to do a damn pay-per-view every 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that if they go with SmackDown-only house shows, I think you're asking for disaster there, because I don't think they're going to draw. I mean, SmackDown doesn't even draw people to the taping. So why would people want to come see the house show? Although, in my opinion, house shows are more fun the actual TV shows.
I tend to agree with you. And, you know, I remember, too, Teddy, a time at Gerwick.net where the SmackDown spoilers were something that people looked forward to. And now, you know, we throw up the SmackDown spoilers. It's nothing special anymore. They don't really look forward to, you know, finding out what's going on. At one time when the shows were really hot, you know, you watch Raw, and the next night, the Tuesday night tapings for SmackDown, you're like, okay, what happened on the show? and you're checking out at Gerwig.net or other websites to find out what was going on. Now the spoilers really don't mean much anymore, and I mean the numbers are down for the SmackDown brand show as is. I don't know, Teddy. You know, you've been there. You were there at a time when they ran a lot of pay-per-views. You also were in wrestling at a time when, you know, there was like quarterly pay-per-views. How many pay-per-views do you think would be a right number, say in 2016, for the company to promote?
Well, I think I would only maybe do four pay-per-views a year. That's what I would do. And the thing with that, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, you got it on the network. It's $9.99. It's going to be free anyway. You know what I mean? So I'd only run four pay-per-views a year. Just only four pay-per-views a year. And I think that's basically all you need. I think it's just too much. But maybe, you know, with those pay-per-views, they may be, maybe sponsors already buy them. So they have to run them because the people have already paid for them. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But like I said, four pay-per-views a year, I think that would be enough. And they would be so, and you had WrestleMania in there. So I think you have three. You know, along with WrestleMania, would make it four. WrestleMania would be your big one. And those other three would be the, you know, maybe you got one big one that's going into WrestleMania, and you got one that's coming right out of WrestleMania, and then another big one there right at the end, almost at the end of the year.
I think that's a good number, Frank. You know, do Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series at the end of the year, or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's a good idea, but I don't think it'll meet the WWE's bottom line. I think I'm with Teddy on this one as far as the sponsors are already linked to those shows, and WWE has to live up to the contract. But I think that fewer pay-per-views is better, because back in the day, you only had Royal Rumble, and then WrestleMania, then SummerSlam, then Survivor Series. But in between, WWE would do, you know, little shows like this Tuesday in Texas, or they would do the SummerSlam, you know, showdown or something like that. You know, if they do things like that, these little specials, little network specials to keep it going, I think that would be a good thing too. But you really have to, if they were to do the brand extension, and this is only a rumor right now, but if they were to do it, you really have got to try to make people, you know, believe that SmackDown is on the level with Raw. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that. That's kind of like saying that Thunder was on the same level of Nitro.
As Monday Nitro, yeah.
And people knew that was bullshit.
You know what, Frank? You know, that it could be done, but believe me, I'm like you. They would have to do something real spectacular for SmackDown. I mean, you'd have to shock it. You know what I mean? I mean, to bring it back. I believe it could be done, but there has to be something that's got to be real big to get that going.
Well, I'll tell you another thing, too, when we're talking about the SmackDown brand and just people that were made during that period of time. I mean, we saw the real rise of Edge as a main eventer on SmackDown, the rated R superstar. We saw that.
Right.
And I enjoyed the hell out of that. That was good stuff right there. And Undertaker was the brand was built around Taker. And if they can do something like that, where they can take a guy and build SmackDown around this guy, as he is, like, you know how we talk about in WWE, they have to have the guy, right? Well, how about Roman Reigns is the guy for SmackDown or something like that, and Seth Rollins is the guy for Monday Night Raw? That's what I would do. You got to take one guy or whatever, or a couple guys, and it has to be built around them. And I think right now, if they were to do that, I think it would be a success if they were to play it that way. And if they bring back the big gold belt and put that on somebody, you got another champion there. And also, they sell more replicas that way. It's business. And you don't have just a certain amount of guys fighting for one belt. You can have a guy like, Kevin Owens or somebody fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship on SmackDown. Meanwhile, over here on Raw, we got AJ Styles going for the WWE Championship against Seth Rollins. Yeah, that's what I would do.
If they do the brand extension again, I would expect them to put the second title back. I don't know, Teddy. You know, there was a lot of people that liked having a Raw champion and a SmackDown champion. There's others, you know, a purist that says, you know, you're the WWE champion. You represent the WWE. It doesn't matter if you're on Raw or SmackDown, or you go back and forth. What's your overall opinion of having two world champions in the same company?
Well, I think that works. You know what I mean? SmackDown has its own champion. Raw has its own champion. You know, but then maybe they, you know, they could do something where that could be another belt there. Maybe this may be too much. I don't know. But you know, maybe you do something there, and you could have a match between the Raw champion and the SmackDown champion to see who would be the WWE champ.
You know, see, honestly, if they hadn't have shit on this and ruined it to the point where it's no return, I would say, you know, yeah, maybe they could actually take that SmackDown brand and, you know, rebrand it WCW with the big old belt. But because of what happened with the invasion angle and how they completely screwed that up, I don't see that happening. But at the time,
right,
I could have saw that with, you know, them taking that SmackDown brand and just rebranding it WCW SmackDown or something like that.
Right.
You got kids, they don't even know what WCW is or was.
And that's, and see, and yeah, that's, you can use that to the advantage. You can use that to the advantage because there's a lot of the newer fans that don't know what WCW was. So I think this is a whole all new thing. And they don't have to go back and look at WCW in the death years. This is something new, but I don't have any faith that WWE would do it correctly because look what WWE did when they got WCW, and then also look what WWE did with ECW as well. It'll be their spin, and it's just basically like I kind of just want them to maybe do something with WCW, and you don't have to necessarily go back to what worked back in the day. You can do it for now. That's my only thing.
Right.
And if they go back to a brand extension, you know, Frank, I know a guy who could do a really good job as a SmackDown general manager.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was on the show until he got, you know, railroaded out and put on that ECW brand. And once again, you know, ECW started off as something, and then it became something else. And then the finger pointing started, and oh, we're going to get rid of this, and we're going to bring on NXT. I mean, that was stupid. And I'm going to be honest with you, I never, she might be a nice woman and all that, but I never really liked Vicky Guerrero as a SmackDown general manager. I prefer Teddy Long. And tell you I'm making tag matches.
Well, you know, let me tell you something, Frank. With Vicky Guerrero, I love her to death. And I think she was a great big help to me and the SmackDown brand because she had a lot of heat, brother. And I was able to do a lot of the stuff that I did by playing off of Vicky. You know what I mean? She made a lot of my stuff real good, you know. And I was so glad to work with her and help her. She was really a great person. So, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I don't know what to tell you, man. I really don't know what to tell you, but like I said, maybe they'll get this thing right. I don't know.
Well, and was it, you know, you said she had a lot of heat, but was that heat or was that X-Pac heat that she was getting?
Well, I think it was natural heat with her because, man, let me tell you something. And I don't know what I ever told you this, but one day me and her were standing up and we were just talking, and I think we were just bullshitting about something. And I said something to her, and she looked at me and she said, "Excuse me?" You know, and I'm like, "God damn it." I said, "That's it. That's it, bitch." I said, "Start saying that. That's it." And that's where the "excuse me" come from. And Vicky Guerrero will tell you that. Nobody never, you know, I mean, me and her, we knew it, and some other people knew it, but nobody would ever give me that credit. And I don't want the credit. It was part of my job. Is to help, you know, create and to help my character and help the other person's character get over. But, I think she had real heat, Frank. I'm telling you, I was there, man. It was sometimes when she would walk out and just say, "Excuse me," and they wouldn't even let her finish, you know, talk about nothing else. And that just came natural.
Well, let me ask you this question, Teddy, as it relates to SmackDown. We try to be fair here on the GRP and Gurig.net, and I got to ask you, because we can point out some things that didn't have anything to do with race, like the Titus O'Neil thing. I still think it had nothing to do with race. It's just basically Vince don't want to be corrected in front of the wrestlers. That's pretty much how I look at it. But there was an incident at WWE a few years ago with Michael Hayes and Mark Henry, in which Michael Hayes called Mark Henry the N-word. And subsequently, I believe Hayes was at a party, and he was drunk, and he came up and said that to Mark Henry. The company really, I think they sent Michael Hayes to some type of alcohol rehab or something like that. And
right,
he's still there with the company to this day. But
Frank, I don't mean to cut you off, player, but let me tell you what happened there.
Okay.
Okay, It was in Orlando, Florida. It was at WrestleMania. I forget what WrestleMania was, but the one we had in Orlando, Florida. And we were, DeMarc Henry and Michael Hayes and some other people in the bar downstairs. Okay, now I wasn't in this bar, but I got this from a reliable person. They was right there. Michael Hayes never called DeMarc Henry a nigga. Okay? Michael Hayes said to DeMarc Henry, they had a conversation, they were going, Michael had been drinking, but Michael said to DeMarc Henry that, Mark, I got more nigger in me than you do. Those were the words that were said. Because Michael was always like this. Michael always liked the soul music, you know, the black people music and stuff. Michael would come around, sing shit, you know, and dance, you know. He had that, you know, like, he had that blackness in him, you know. He liked black soul music. And that's kind of what he meant when he said that to Mark Henry. But I think Mark just kind of blew that up. It kind of got out of control or whatever, you know what I mean? But that's exactly how it was. And the way it got back to the office is that Michael Hayes said, called Mark the N-word, and that wasn't true. That's what Michael said to him. But Michael did have the drinking problem, you know what I mean? A lot of guys have drinking problems. And so I think they did send him to rehab for his alcohol problem. And like I said, and maybe that's why he's able to be there today and he came back to work, because that's exactly how it happened. He didn't call Mark the N-word to his face.
Yeah, I heard something like that. He said, Yeah, I kind of heard that on the internet, that was a story. He says, I'm more of a, you know, more of a nigga than you are.
Right. And Michael has said that before. You know, I like Michael. I've always got along with him, man. You know, he, you know, teases with me and plays, and, you know, says shit to me. You know what I mean? Michael's just like that, man. You know, but we don't take Michael serious, you know. I didn't take him serious.
Right. And see, here's the thing, though. You're in the company. You're around Michael Hayes. But if you have a person like myself or somebody else out there and you hear a story like that, you're going to go, huh, this dude's a racist. He's up there calling Mark Henry, you know, a nigga.
Right. Well, you know, that's how people, you know, blow things out of proportion. It's just like the thing with the Titus O'Neil thing that me and you guys have been talking about. People are calling me Uncle Tom. I'm consistently Uncle Tom. I'm trying to work my way back in to get a job back with the WWE. So let me explain this to you. You can't listen to these fucking idiots out here that just take anything that they hear and they turn it into something that they want to say is racism or somebody's Uncle Tom because they won't say what they want them to say. I'm just telling you what the God heaven truth is, and that's all I'm going to say is the truth. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So, you know, you listen to these people talking about Uncle Tom. Well, you know, like the old saying is, you have to be a Tom to know a Tom. So maybe these are Uncle Toms that make it jealous of me because I'm taking over that position as Uncle Tom. One thing about an Uncle Tom is that Uncle Tom will have a job. Uncle Tom will be getting a paycheck. But Uncle Tom is a person that ain't trying to talk his way to end a job. You know, if you're Uncle Tom, you got a job. You keep a job. Okay, so I don't know what these idiots are talking about. They can say what they want to say. It doesn't bother me at all, but it's just as simple as this. Everybody ain't going to like you. It's just that simple, Frank. Everybody's not going to like you. So I'm glad when they call me Uncle Tom. That let me know that somebody's thinking about me, whether it's in a negative way or a positive way. You're still thinking about me, player.
Well, let me ask you this question here, because we had the big debate about the Confederate flag. Remember that? And
right.
Michael Hayes would come out to the ring wearing the Confederate flag. So once again, Confederate flag. Cause Mark Henry, you know, supposedly calls him the nigger, you know, calls him a nigger. You see where I'm going with this?
Well, yeah. Well, let me touch base on that. When Michael Hayes came out, when he was in his day, when he was wrestling, and he came out with the Confederate flag, black people didn't even know what that meant. Didn't even know what the history. I won't say all black people. I'll say some black people didn't know what the history about the Confederate flag. And I'll tell you what, I'm one of them. I had no idea that the Confederate flag meant slavery and all this stuff until the incident that happened in Charleston, South Carolina. So when Michael Hayes came out with the Confederate flag, that's what he did. He's from the South. That's what white people do in the South, and maybe some in the North. They cherish the Confederate flag, you know, and they look at it in a different way than racism. But we all, as black people, know what it is. But white people have a different opinion about it. So at the time Michael Hayes came out with that Confederate flag on his tights, I'm sure he thought he was doing the right thing, and I'm pretty sure he did it for the audience. You know, white people come and support him, you know what I mean? Because that's their belief. It's just like people that believe in the Confederate flag now. There are some people that are pissed off about having it taken down. And there are some people that are going to fly regardless of what. They're not taking it down. So that's just a different of an opinion, you know. And so Michael's from the South, and that's what people in the South do.
Yeah, I mean, I said this a while ago on the GRP. I was like, you know, just because they take down the Confederate flag, and then some people, I've heard both sides of the argument. There's a lot of white people that feel the Confederate flag, to them, is basically about the South, and it had nothing to do with race. And then on the upswing on that, you have Ku Klux Klansmen that have the Confederate flag. I mean, we just had an incident out here in Anaheim, California, this past weekend, where the KKK pretty much got stomped out by a bunch of, counter-protesters, and the Klansmen actually had to stab a few people to get away, because they were just pretty much getting mauled, but they had that Confederate flag. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, you can remove the Confederate flag as many places as you want to, it doesn't really make a damn bit of difference. Racism is still going to exist.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. You can take down a million Confederate flags. You can't take it out of their hearts the way that they feel. They're going to continue to still feel the same way. And when you take down that flag, they're going to get worse. The hatred is going to be more extent then. So taking that down, that, you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, that made a lot of people happy. I'm sure it did, but I just didn't, it didn't make any sense to me. That still, that hatred is still there, whether they got the flag or not.
The pussification of the United States, right, Frank? That's, I mean, everything is offensive to somebody. No matter what you do, what you say, what you wear, it's offensive to somebody. I mean, these Apple phones that people have, I mean, do people realize that Apple has suicide nets in China where these phones are made? So when you're sporting an iPhone or an iPad, you realize that you're basically condoning a form of slavery. I mean, those people are paid nothing. They have to work 18-hour shifts. They have suicide nets around the factory so the guys don't jump off and kill themselves. So, you know, where's the double standard for that? And we gradually have all these cell phones and all this electronics that, you know, we, Samsung and all these PlayStations. I mean, where do you think these come from? Why do you think they cost what they cost in the United States? Because they have these sweatshops all over the world that where people work for pennies on the dollar.
Well, Steve, a lot of people don't investigate. A lot of people don't know their history.
Right.
A lot of people don't know what's going on. A lot of people don't know what you just said. There are a lot of people, I guarantee, out there that may be the first time they have ever heard of that and know what Apple is doing. That's probably the first time they'll ever hear of it. So
yeah.
I'm telling you, that's why I truly believe in trying to educate yourself now in these modern day times. This is the 20th century. You need to know what is going on around you.
And I think there's a lot of people that simply don't give a damn.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
As long as they got that Apple phone and they're enjoying it and having a good time, they could give a shit what those people are going through over there.
Exactly.
It's just like the refugees. I look at on TV and I see those poor little kids, you know, people trying to escape with their kids. And my thing is this, man. I look at those little children and I know that those little children haven't had a meal. I know that those little children ain't got the clothes and they can stay warm or put on their back. They're in a boat or something or trying to escape or trying to get somewhere and they could be killed at any moment. That's what I look at. But like I said, how can some people deny them, you know what I mean, a place to stay or food or something? I don't understand. What kind of heart can you have?
And I'm not just picking on Apple. I mean, it's everything today. Our manufacturing base is gone. So if you buy Wrangler jeans. Where do you think the Wrangler jeans came from? Or the Levi jeans? Or you go to the dollar shop and you get everything for a dollar. What do you think all that stuff, I mean, look at the label, made in China. Where do you think it came from?
And then
why do you think that cost a dollar?
You read my mind. I was going to say, how do you think you're able to pay a dollar for this stuff? Ain't nobody giving you nothing. There's some way that Family Dollar, Dollar General, all these places selling this dollar stuff, they have made their money some kind of way. And if they can sell an item for a dollar, believe me, it didn't cost them nothing but maybe a nickel or a dime. They made pretty much an 80-cent profit off of it.
I totally agree. And what you said there, Teddy, this is probably firsthand information today that I'm presenting that nobody's ever heard before. And it's sad because, you know, I saw a survey the other day how the IQ in the United States has gone way down. The points are dropping. You know, we are becoming less educated. You know, we're playing our video games and we're watching, yeah, I'll say it, you know, watching wrestling. We're playing, you know, we're texting our friends. We're we're cutting down on our vocabulary. We want LOLs and all this. And you know, we are getting dumbed down. And it is on purpose. I mean, the TV reprograms your brain. I don't know if people realize that. But the more television you watch, the more your brain is programmed for that stimulation. And then you're not as motivated to read a book or go out to the library or find out some factual information. I mean, we live in the internet age where at your fingertip, you can look up almost anything anymore. And yet, you know, we're into hip hop and the Oscars and everything, all this entertainment stuff, which is a great distraction. You know, we're in sports and the Super Bowl, things that really matter. We have a presidential race coming up here. In fact, I don't know how you cannot have heard about it, but you know, you're going to have people who're not going to look into any of these candidates. They're going to say, "Oh, I'm a Democrat. I'm going to vote for Hillary, or I'm going to vote for Bernie, or I'm a Republican. I'm going to vote for Trump." And I don't care what these people stand for, what their histories are. I don't care about Benghazi or any other email scandals that Hillary's involved in. I don't care that Bernie Sanders is an open socialist. I don't care that Donald Trump has had how many bankruptcies. I'm going to vote for these guys because they're an RRD. And it's amazing to me when I walk around and I hear people talk. You know, go to a restaurant, you overhear somebody talking. It's just, it's amazing how, I mean, it wasn't like that 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And it's just getting worse and worse. And it's sad that society has really fallen by the wayside.
Well, people are just coming out now. You know what I mean? I think with the election of Barack Obama, I think it brought a lot of, you know, bigotry and a lot of the racism that was hidden that, you know, I think it all came to light. So, you know, people just, you know, letting you know, exactly how they feel now. It's sad, you know, to see that the country's in such bad shape as it is, you know, but, you know, maybe hopefully God will bless us and make something happen and we're trying to get our lives back on track and get the world back on track, man. But right now, Steve, like you say, it's really sad, man. It's really sad to be for all this hatred and all this stuff to be going on like it is. And, you know, what really surprises me is that some people that I thought, you know, were good people, that were nice people, you know, and that you could, you know, have a good relationship with, and once you find out, you know, that they'll know they're not. You know, they're just working me too. You know, they're laughing at me, but once I'm gone, I'm that nigga. You know, so, you know, I found that out too, so it's just sad.
And just the news sources, people will listen to CNN or Fox News and think they're getting factual information when they have their own agendas. I mean, NBC is in bed with this global warming movement, so they're not going to criticize global warming. They're going to push that agenda. GE owns NBC, so you think they're going to be critical of the global warming agenda? Of course not.
Hey, man, this country, it's about that green dollar, brother. That's what it's all going to come. It all boils down to it. It's all about that dollar. It's just that simple, man. So if right now we're in a crisis where it's every man for himself.
Check out youtube.com/Gerrick Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel. Like our videos. Leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, this is Frank D of Gerwick.net. If you like what you're listening to right now and want to make a financial contribution to our show, check out prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick today. That's the official merchandise store of Gerwick.net. We have 8 great designs. $19.99 plus shipping and handling. We'll get you one of our great shirts. We have the Raw Deal Podcast t-shirt, Gerwick.net t-shirts, and Gerwick Report Podcast t-shirts. Once again, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. They ship domestically. They ship internationally. They accept PayPal, credit, and debit. So they got you covered there. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today. We appreciate your support.
Last time we had you on, we talked about Steve Austin, and the racism situation came up, and we asked if you thought Steve Austin was a racist, and you said no. But one thing that kind of comes to mind with Steve Austin, and I'll admit it, I'm a Steve Austin fan. I had the Austin 316 shirts back in the day, and every time that glass breaks, I think of Stone Cold coming out there, and probably always be a Stone Cold fan for what he did in the ring. But some people really think it's a little bit of a double standard with him. I mean, he is in the glory of WWE. He has his own podcast. He's on the network, Hall of Famer, etc. But, of course, he did have a situation with domestic abuse, and he definitely got arrested for that. And a lot of people think maybe there's a little bit of a double standard. Does Steve Austin get a little bit of a pass because of who he is, because he's a big star, and some of the domestic abuse is kind of swept under the rug a little bit?
Well, to my opinion on that, on the domestic abuse, you know, I don't know. I heard about him. That's all I know about him. I heard about him. I don't know whether he was convicted of him or whether he was proven guilty of doing that or not. But, you know, everybody has a dark side. It's just that simple. You know what I mean? You find out a lot of things, you know, about some people that, you know, you never thought. And I'll go back to this. Just say the guy that, I can't think of his name now, but he was arrested, you know, that was on the, what was that show, the 19 Kids Family or something, where the guy, Duger was his name, where he was shown to be molesting his sisters or something. What was that show?
Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, but, you know, Duger or something. I think they sent him to rehab. He was a big supporter of Mike Huckabee and stuff, but he was abused of, he was accused of molesting his own sisters and stuff like that. You know, who would have thought that about that guy? He was a guy that, you know, nice Christian man, family man, you know, big supporter, big figure, you know, a guy that kind of stands out with the Republican Party. You know, nobody would have thought that. So now we find out this stuff on him. So, you know, it just, like I said, domestic violence, you know, you should never hit a woman. You should never do that. You never in your life should put your hands on a woman. But a lot of times people don't know what happens inside their home. You know, we don't know whether the woman struck the man first, or we don't know whether the woman just took it so far as maybe she turned it into a fight. I don't know. I'm not taking up for Steve. We don't know what happened there. So I don't think he's getting no pass. I think, you know, at the time, Steve Austin is a popular figure. There could be money made with him. People listen to him. They still like him, whether he's in the ring or not. So I think, you know, if you're in that position, you know, Vince is going to use you if you can make your money. And if that domestic violence level is not proven that he actually done that, then there's no reason to, you know, to suspend him or to take him off the show. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know whether he ever done that or not, but he's always been a nice guy to me. That's all I can say to people.
Well, I think that he actually was on some type of a high-speed chase or some shit in Texas over this. I mean, there's an actual mugshot of Steve Austin as it relates to these domestic violence allegations. I believe it was made by his former wife, Deborah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I've never seen any of that, you know, what you're talking about, so that may be true. Well, if Vince and them knows about that, and they knows that, you know, and if they just, you know, do nothing about it, I just, you know, I don't know. But, you know, you look at Hogan, too, and as this thing came up about the racism, you know, he was hurry up, you know, took him off of everything. So, you know, maybe times are different now. Maybe back then when all that happened, maybe, you know, you can get by with that. I don't know. But like I said, if they didn't do anything about it, there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't, you know, I don't really know what to say about it.
Right. What was your opinion of the situation? Now, you weren't with the company at this time, but I'm pretty sure you heard about it. What was your opinion of the situation that happened with Alberto Del Rio and the reason why he left WWE the first time? Because the incident that happened with someone, I guess it was the social media manager.
Well, with Alberto, the thing that I wasn't there, but what I heard about it, let me tell you about him, too. I had a chance to spend some time with him. Nice guy. Super nice guy. So, but he, but you didn't play with him. You know, he had a temper. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, if you disrespected him, you know what I mean? He would, you know, get in your face. You know what I mean? I know a lot of guys like that. It wasn't just Alberto. But the way that I got it was that some .net, .net.com or some guy walked up to him. Alberto was in the catering or something. And the guy, they told the guy to clean his tray up or his plate. And the guy looked over and said, Alberto will do it. You know, like the Mexicans will clean up my stuff. So he just disrespected Alberto as far as I know it. And Alberto just jumped up and slapped the shit out of him. I mean, you know, I might have would have done that. You know, I don't know. But, you know, you just don't disrespect people. It's just that simple. Especially if you're some guy that's some .net guy. You know, you don't even know nobody.
Right. But do you feel that at the time, I mean, here's the deal where somebody basically disrespects Alberto Del Rio, and Del Rio comes over and slaps the shit out of the guy. Now, if you got to reprimand Del Rio and release Del Rio, why is the other guy at the time still having a job?
Well, that now I can't answer for you.
Right.
I don't know. I can't answer. I don't know what happened there.
I think it's a couple.
I really don't know, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I wanted to say this, too, you know. Like I said, I might have done that, too, but here's another thing, too. Sometimes when you get in positions like that, man, you have to just think twice. You know, you have to stop and wait a minute. I know if I hit this guy, I'm going to be in my ass. I'm going to be in trouble. So you got to think about that, you know, too. But like I said, sometimes, you know, things just happen. You don't get a chance to think about it. So like I don't know why that guy continued to work there, but I think he's gone now. I don't think he's employed with the company now.
No, I think he's gone. But he stayed there for a while in Del Rio, the guy that got disrespected. Well, we're going to go ahead and let your ass go.
Well, it's just like with the Titus O'Neil thing. There's certain things you can't do. You can't hit the employees, and you can't grab this.
Well, I get that. I totally understand that you have to remain professional in that environment. I totally get that. But I feel as well that if I'm up here, you know, and this guy is not even a worker, he's not even, you know, a wrestler. He's nowhere near that, and he's up here disrespecting talent, and it's clear racism. And it just seems to me it's a double standard. Oh, let's get rid of Del Rio for, you know, standing up and defending himself, but let's keep this little, you know, piece of shit little social media manager. That to me was, it's just to me it's a double standard.
Well, it's one of two things. Either we don't know what the real deal was about that. Maybe, you know, I'm going on with what I was told and what I heard. Maybe we don't really know what the real deal was. Maybe that could be it. But there's always, you know, I've always learned this since I've, you know, working in professional wrestling. When there's time for somebody to get released, they already know about it like a month ahead, you know, but they don't do it right then. You know, they do it when they feel like the time is right. So it could be that situation, or either, like I said, maybe there was something happened that we don't know about.
You know, we just this month here, we close out February with today's Leap Day. And I want to congratulate Tito Santana. He was voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. I just wondered if you had any stories or any thoughts on Tito Santana.
I never did meet him. I've never even spoken to him. I've seen him on a couple of signings and stuff, but I think he probably left before I could get a chance to, but I've never said one word to him.
Okay, fair enough. So we just want to congratulate Tito Santana.
Congratulations to him, though. You know, I've watched his work over the years, and thought he was a great wrestler in the WWF when it was the WWF. So, yeah, my congratulations to him also.
Yeah, but still, going with Tito Santana. I mean, does anybody remember El Matador?
Oh, I remember that. I remember El Matador.
Yeah, that's like, you know what I'm saying, El Matador. and you know, Tony Atlas out there is Saba Simba and shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not. It wasn't Tito Santana's fault. That's just what they gave him.
Exactly. But yeah, that kind of goes in the line of, you know, racist gimmicks over the years.
Although, didn't you tell me one time, Frank, in a shoot interview that Tito thought he was better than Bret Hart?
Right, and that's why he got saddled with El Matador for thinking that shit.
Hey, Frank, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. You ain't got to say no more.
Exactly. That speaks for itself.
Exactly, brother.
I guess with the whole Saba Simba thing, I guess Tony Atlas thought he was Hulk Hogan or something. So
yeah,
we're gonna show you that you're not, brother.
I tell guys all the time, this does not belong to us. This is they shit. So you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what you're told to do.
What did you think, you know, back in the day when Linda McMahon was running for office, public office? Were the boys taking that seriously? Was it something that was kind of forced upon them to maybe support Linda? I just wonder what the perspective was from your point of view.
Well, we everybody knew about it. You know, I don't, maybe some of the guys, you know, did take it serious, but I myself, you know, I never did think no more about it, though. Basically, my thoughts were on my job, you know, and doing what I had to do. But, you know, I was always supportive of her. You know, I was hoping that, you know, she did win. Linda McMahon was a nice lady. I had a chance to meet her, and she was very nice to me. So, like I said, I didn't pay that any attention, but there may have been some guys that really, you know, took it real serious. But, you know, my concentration on is, you know, mainly my job.
Okay, I got a couple of questions here from Twitter as well. And I think those out there in social media that listen to the podcast, send me some questions here. Guy's name is Al. He wants to know, what did you prefer, to be a manager, a referee, or a general manager?
I preferred to take the job that paid me the most money, and that was the general manager.
Well, let me ask you, since we brought up SmackDown, the possibility of a brand extension, if they would call you, if they say, hey, Teddy, you know, we're going to do SmackDown as a separate brand again, are you interested in going back on a full-time basis working for WWE as the SmackDown general manager?
Well, we'd have to talk about that. You know what I mean? You know, I'd go back to work for Vince in a heartbeat. The man took care of me. He really took care of me, and God bless him for what he did for me, man. He if it wasn't for Vince, then nobody would even know. I mean, you would have known Teddy Long, but Vince really, you know, put me out there. I'd be happy to go back to work for him, but I would like to kind of go to work on my terms. You know, I'm just really not, you know, wanting to drive over these 300-mile trips instead of every night, you know, to these times, you know. So basically, you know, if I could kind of work, you know, I'm not going in and telling them what to do. Let me make that clear. But I'd like to have some part in what they're asking me to do so I can make my life a little easier and make, you know, my job easier. So I'd be interested in going back if they call me. I'd just like to kind of talk with them and see if we work something out where it would be, you know, beneficial to me and them.
And we also had a question. I asked you on a previous podcast if you'd be interested in going back and working as an advisor, as a staff writer, maybe give consulting points of view on their script writing. And you said it's tough to do because Vince Vince would probably give you some grief. But we had another reader, a listener, wanted to know if you'd be interested in going back as a color commentator, which I actually thought you'd do a really good job because I think sometimes they're announcing a little generic. Would you be interested in doing some color commentary for WWE?
Yeah, I'd be interested in that. But basically what I would like to do is give the people what they want. And I know that the people want to see me in that GM role and to make them tag team matches. I know what they want. So let's give the people what they want. But like I said, if they wanted me to come back and do color commentary, that's fine. You know, that's a paycheck. But like I said, let me give, you know, I believe there's one more run in me. So let me give the people what they want in this last run. Let me give it to them what they want. And I know what they want from me. And you guys know, you listen to the fans and stuff. You know what they want from me. So let me give them that.
That's what I want. I know that's what Frank wants as well. So hopefully that happens.
Right. Well, like I said, we'll see. You know, if they don't figure I'm too old, you know, that was the last thing I heard. You know, they figured I was too old and somebody said I was a dinosaur now and they didn't want this old guy on their TV. So like I said, that's a rumor I heard. So, you know, we just have to see.
Well, I can attest you're definitely not too old. Who cares what age you are anyway? You entertain, you know. Jeez.
You know, if you want to talk about people getting old, you know, you can just go through a lot of names that are on that TV right now that are old, and you know, and that's all I gotta say.
Well, let me ask you this question, Teddy. I was watching some stuff last night with you on the YouTube, and it was a lot of the matches with the skyscrapers, Dance by Me and Sid Vicious, and then the new skyscrapers with, you know, Mark Callis, you know, aka Undertaker, and Dance by Me. Which combination was the one you enjoyed working with the most?
I enjoyed working with the combination with the Undertaker and Dan Spivey. Sid Vicious was always a problem. You know, there was something wrong, you know. I mean, one time, man, I'll tell you a story about him. One time that's when I had to really get away from it. One time we was in the car and we were driving along, and so he got pulled over for speeding. So now he's going to argue with the police, and let me remind you, we got marijuana in the car. He's going to argue with the police and tell the police that he's not speeding. And the man has it written right out there to show him that he was speeding. He's got it written right in his face. And he tells the man, no, I was coming down a hill. And anytime a car goes down a hill, it's going to go faster. Now, that was his excuse to try to say that he was not speeding. What an idiot. So the combination was Spidey and Undertaker.
Well, what about Doom? Because originally Nancy Benoit, you know, God rest her soul, she was the original manager of Doom when they first came in, had the mask on, and then you took over that who would you get along with more, Ron Simmons or Butch Reed?
Well, I got along more with Ron Simmons, but working with both of them was really great. Butch was just, you know, he was just crazy. And he would do some stuff sometime, man. We would be riding along in the car. And back then, you know, they didn't have cell phones. So Butch had to get out, you know, and even call his wife. So he would stop every 5 minutes to a pay phone. And he would get on the phone, call his wife. He'd be cussing. They'd be arguing about something. He'd hang up. Then we'd get back in the car. We'd drive down the road, maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. And he's looking for a pay phone. Then you got to stop, let him get out, and call his wife. Then one time he got mad with some girl. What were we at? We was in Baltimore. And so this girl wanted to invite me, Butch, and Ron to her house for dinner. Well, you know, you don't go to people's houses and eat their food that you don't know. So he get mad at me and Ron because we didn't want to go to the people's house. And he went over there and had dinner with them, and they food poisoned him. They had to rush him to the hospital. So Butch was just a nut, but I enjoyed him. He was old school, man. He was crazy. But Butch and Ron were a great team, man. I had a lot of fun with them, man, because I remember a lot of times they didn't make it to the shows, and I would be there. So I'd have to get beat up by the Steiners and take all the bumps so we could make the people happy.
Well, let me ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Who's the better manager, the better personality, you or the Slickster?
Me. Of course. What are you talking about?
Heck yeah. Sure.
I like Slick, but that stuff he's doing, brother, that's some of that step and fetchy shit. You know what I mean? I didn't do none of that, man. I was just a modern day guy, you know, and basically my character was me. I created my own character. I started playing, and all the stuff that I did, holla, 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 that's real, all that stuff came straight from me. The writers wrote stuff for me. But Vince let me know that I could tweak it, that I could add my stuff to it because my stuff made it funny and made it good. So I would have to say me, of course.
Well, I like your stuff, man, but you did not have a song like Jive Soul Bro.
Well, I replaced that with the dance that I got from my grandson.
Well, you know, you didn't have that. That's the only thing. I enjoyed both your works. I really did. But you coming out to with the Skyscrapers to China White by the Scorpions, that is the shit right there. That is the shit. But I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Jive Soul Bro. I mean, who does not like Jive Soul Bro, you know?
Yeah, well, back in the day, that was good. Yeah. You couldn't get away with that today.
Let me ask you, too. You know, we've talked a lot about the Hall of Fame, and I don't really want to talk about the Hall of Fame today, but overall, do you think your legacy was a little bit diminished that you were on the B show SmackDown versus guys that got the limelight of being on Raw? Do you think maybe your longevity, or I shouldn't say the longevity, but maybe the status you would have in the company or how you're perceived now would be just a little bit higher, say, if you had that long run as the Raw general manager?
Well, I'm pretty sure it would be much higher now because I've had a chance to be away for a while. I've been away from there about 2 years now, going on 3 years. So, you know, like, if I went back now, I would be fresh to the people. So I just think when I was on SmackDown, it was an honor for me. I was happy to be there. I was in charge. And so I didn't look at it like being on the B show or being on the A show. I looked at it like, hey, I'm on a show that I'm in charge of. I'm running this thing. You know, look at the opportunity that I got. So my job now is to try to make SmackDown as good as Raw. And that's what I tried to do for the little input that I could put in. You know, everything's written, so I had to go by script and what they wanted. But for me and the way that I did it, I tried to do what I could do to make it good because I wanted to stay there and I wanted to show Vince, hey, man, you got me on this thing. It's working, and that's what I want to do. I want to make it work for you.
Let me ask this question, Teddy. How were your interactions with Stephanie McMahon?
Oh, I always got along with her. She was great, man. You know, I remember her coming to me one time, you know, after I started running SmackDown, you know, because she didn't know really basically what I could do as far as my talent and everything. And she came to me and she said, listen, Teddy, you are doing a great job. Thank you. You've come a long way here. And I thanked her, you know, for giving me the opportunity. But Stephanie, you know, she's tough now. She's a little tougher than Vince sometimes. I did pre-tapes with her and stuff, and, you know, where we've had to, you know, do things over because she just has her way of doing things. But sometimes you can get with Vince, and if it's good, you know, he'll say, okay, he'll like it, and he's done. You know, maybe, you know, he's out of there. But sometimes Stephanie will, you know, you have to, you know, change things and do a little bit more with her. But everybody has their own way of doing things. She's a perfectionist, and she wants it perfect. And until she feels like it's perfect in her eyesight, you got to continue to do that. But I enjoyed working with her, too. She was great.
Let me ask you this question, Teddy. You were in the WWE in 2001 when they brought in the WCW guys. Were you there that night in Tacoma, Washington on Raw where they had the match where WWF Raw became WCW in you know, the last segment? And it was Booker T versus Bob Bagwell for the WCW championship. Were you there that night when that happened?
Yes, I was.
And what was the reaction backstage? I mean, we can see it now. You can see people leaving in the crowd. They're leaving. They want no part of this. They don't want to see WCW. They don't want to see Booker T. They don't want to see Bob Bagwell. But what was the reaction backstage when this match was going on and the crowd reaction and all that? Because apparently McMahon made his mind up right there that night that they were not going to go forward with WCW as its own brand.
Well, I think for the reaction from the boys, you know, a lot of the guys that came over from WCW, man, one thing about them, they were just glad to be there because we, all the time, everybody that was in WCW, we were always, you know, always talked to about the people that had been working for Vince and had been up in the WWE, that WWE was the place to go. So everybody that was in WCW couldn't wait to get there because they felt they were going to have a better opportunity there and they would be used better. So, you know, for that reaction that night, I mean, who knows? Who knows what to say? Who knows what to do? You know, we're just standing there just watching, you know, to see what's going on because right at that particular time, that was the first for Vince to even take over, you know, WCW. So all that was brand new to us. Then you had Booker T coming in and working with Bud Bagwell. The WCW was so bad at the end of their run. It was just so bad to... That's why people got up and walked out, because when they looked and seen that WCW talent, they had been so bad behind them that they thought they were going to see the same thing in the WWE. So Vince had to repackage these guys and had to remake them. So, we, you know, for those guys there, I think they were just happy to be there and they were just waiting on their opportunity.
Can you kind of walk us through a typical day? Let's say it's SmackDown. You're going to tape SmackDown. What time do you arrive at the building, going over the script, pre-taping interviews, and then maybe what happens after the show?
Well, you have a scheduled time to be there. The call time is like 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're at TV. If you're working, if you're involved in something that day, maybe around 3, 3.30, your writer will find you, and they'll let you know, Teddy, is what you're doing today. You got a promo with this guy, so we'd like to go ahead and shoot this now, or we'll be back in about 20 minutes. Can you be dressed and we can knock it out? So if you got some pre-tape, we'll do them backstage, or some of them will come out and they'll say, well, we're going to do this one live. So we'll go over it. We'll rehearse that thing backstage, or maybe we'll go out and rehearse it in the ring, say like the contract signing. We'll go to the ring, rehearse that, you know, and I think basically the rehearsing is just for positioning, you know, where when we do come up live or when we start taping it, you know, everybody's in the right position. Everybody knows where they're standing for camera purposes. So basically, and also rehearsals are for people, you know, to make sure that they're saying the right thing, or sometimes people change stuff in rehearsals. He'll hear something, maybe he wasn't in there with the writers. He'll hear something that was written and he might not like it, so he may change it there. So, you know, day in the WWE is great. If you're working, it's great. If you're not working, it's still great to sit back and just watch the other guys rehearse and watch, you know, what's going to happen in the show when it does, you know, come on that night. So it's really fun in the day, you know, being right there at TV. All you want to do is do what you got to do, get your job done there, and get out and head for the next town. Or if it's after SmackDown, you head for your room and hopefully get up and get on an early flight and make it home.
Seems like there's a lot of downtime. What do you do during the downtime when there's nothing really going on?
Well, the downtime, you know, basically you don't do anything. You know, you can't leave. You got to sit there. So basically, you know, that's catering there all day. So sometimes that's why a lot of guys ended up weighing 300 pounds because when they're not doing it, you're just back and forth and catering. You know, you're eating stuff and, you know, just, you know, trying to kill the day or kill time. But, downtime is great, though, man. You get a chance. I took downtime for a chance to learn. You know, I'd sit back and I'd watch Taker. If you had rehearsals, I'd watch Triple H. All those top guys, Shawn Michaels, them, if they had rehearsals, I'd sit back and watch them and saw exactly how they did things, because I always knew. I said, one day I'm going to be right there. I'm going to have to get out here with these guys, so I kind of need to know what they're about so I can be able to, you know, to keep up with them. And thank God that anybody that Vince ever put me with, I had great chemistry with everybody. I didn't have no problem. Anybody that I worked with and I came out and did promos with, I fit right in. It wasn't no problem. It's like I've been knowing them all my life.
Last question I have for you today. What's your favorite year in wrestling, or what was your favorite run that you can remember?
My favorite run had to be SmackDown General Manager, man. You know, I mean, you don't get no higher than that. You know, like I said, I was ECW General Manager there, you know, so it don't get no better than that. You know, being SmackDown General Manager for 15 years was great. Well, I was there for 15 years. I'm sorry. I had a 15-year run at WWE, and I was SmackDown General Manager for 9 years. And to hold a position like that long, you know, was great. It was an honor for me, because there's some guys who were not world champions for 9 years. They didn't even hold the belt that long. So it was just great. My favorite moment was being General Manager SmackDown, because that's as high as you can go. I'm not a wrestler, so I didn't have to worry about trying to be world champion. But to be able to run business companies like that, you know, you don't get no better than that.
Well said. Well, Teddy, we're going to wrap with you here. Go ahead and plug your social media. I know you're very active on Twitter. You can interact with Teddy there. And go ahead and plug your website. And I guess you also now have a YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, I do. I'm on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel. If you can subscribe to that. Like I said, once again, the website is teddylong.com. You can go there and you can find out how to go exactly straight to the YouTube channel. You can follow me on Twitter and my Facebook. And like I said, the last time I was on the show, I talked about the website and asked some people to hit me and let me know what they thought about it. So I got a lot of response from that. And basically, all the people that did hit me, they enjoyed my page. They liked it. And thanks to you guys for helping me promote it and get it out there. So I'm saying again, go to teddylong.com, hit me, let me know what you think about it. If you don't like it, let me know that too. I don't care. I need to know that. So there may be some stuff that I can improve or make it better so that the people don't like it will like it. So teddylong.com is the website. You can follow me on Twitter at teddyplayalong. And I got some big things coming up this weekend on Saturday, March the 5th. I'm in Pascagoula, Mississippi at the BFW Post. On March 24th and 25th, I'll be down in Miami, Florida for a big spring break with Evolution of Wrestling. And on the 25th, I'll be in St. Port Lucie, Florida with Ignite Wrestling. So it's going to be a big month for me here in March. And also on March 19th, I'm back in Lucedale, Mississippi.
So definitely follow along with Teddy on Twitter. Check out his website. And also subscribe to his YouTube channel as well. And just let him know that you heard him on the GRP. That you enjoy listening to his conversations with us as much as we enjoyed talking to Teddy. We always do appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, man. Thank you guys so much, man, and I love y'all, and thanks for having me on your show, and I'm glad that we got this, you know, we popping this thing up. We got people listening, because that's what it's all about.